Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday night edition of Into the Night with Sean Kelly. I hope everybody's doing okay. It's been awful rainy up here a lot. I'm getting drenched, and there's more rain coming, so who knows what's going to be happening. But tonight's a good night. I'm just, like, kind of happy. I have a great guest on tonight that I've been waiting a long time to hear from. My Henry W. Hey, Ernie, good to see you, buddy. Yeah, you made it. Great. Good to see you. Cindy Simpson. Hello, Cindy. Good to see you. But I want to thank Carnation for sponsoring my show tonight. Also, you know, I want to say that April 6th at 8 p.m. at the Dudas Farm in Brownsville, PA. The address is 157 Creek Road. We're going to have an open investigation. They called me up. They asked me if I could, you know, go down there, and they knew I retired. So I said, well, why not? We have an open investigation for everybody. So if you're not doing nothing on April 6th, please come on down and do some investigating with us. I am on UPRN Talk Radio 105.3 Mississippi, 107.7 New Orleans. I think I got that right. I'm not sure. But just want to say that if anybody wants to know what's actually happening down in the Dudas Farm, next week, April 2nd, I am going to have Roy White back on again and some of the people down there who work at the farm who have experienced the paranormal, and they're going to, you know, give us a rundown on what's happening up down there. You know what I mean? So please come here April 2nd, and you'll find out more about the Dudas Farm. Now, my guest tonight, okay, I've known for a while. He's been following his forest friends for over 40 years, have had personal one-on-one experiences, following five counties now by himself. He says, I don't take people with me or guns. Have over 3,000 acres across the street from me with a small group that appears every year. And on that note, I would like to introduce my guest, the Mississippi Squatchman. And here he is. There he is, Mr. Squatchman. Good to see you.
How you doing, brother?
All right, brother. Good to see you. So tell us about yourself a little bit.
I just got a bad habit. I hunt squatches. I don't hug them. I follow them.
Okay.
That's about it. I've been following them long time, man. Long time.
What got you into following them?
Me and my sister had an encounter when we was kids at my grandparents' farm place. And ever since then, I've been intrigued by it, but my brother got me into it mostly.
Okay.
But
hey, Ernie says good to see you, Squatchman. Ernie says good to see
good
you,
to see you, brother.
Yeah. So have you been in Mississippi all your life? I mean,
no, I'm from Louisiana, but I've been here probably over 30 years. So I guess I'm from here.
So you were saying that now that experience that you had with your sister, was that in Louisiana or was that in Mississippi?
No, it was in Mississippi. We lived in Louisiana at the time.
Okay.
And they got a big farm up in North Mississippi. Own all the land now. Let's see how to start it. Me and my sister was at my grandparents' house, and they had a big pen in front of their house, you know, and had a big old tree in the middle of it. And my grandpa used to tie his mules up and stuff to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And right beyond that fence, he had a barn, and he had a kind of like a offshoot to the barn on the side where he kept his tractor and stuff. And behind that, he raised watermelons and apples, stuff like that.
Okay.
And we wasn't allowed to go there. We wasn't allowed to go back to that part. And beside the barn, probably 20, 30 yards, there was a tree line that went for miles. And he never went to that tree line. He kept everything cleared but that tree line.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my sister was up there one weekend. We decided we was going to go steal some of them big green apples he had back there. And he had a big old Brahma bull, man. Big, it was bigger than my truck when we was kids, you know. It was in the barn in that chute. And we made it behind it. And as soon as we got to that barn, there was a limb that fell on the corner of that barn by the tree line. And we looked up and it looked like a big monkey standing there, and he jumped off in the trees, and me and my sister was froze. But we turned around. My grandpa was plowing the field on the north end of the house, behind the house. And so we snuck around there and got them apples and come back, and we got through the fence. And somehow or another, that bull got loose, and we was in the middle of that field, and he come through that field after us, and we ducked behind that tree, and right before that bull got to that tree, whatever that was, we thought it was a monkey, like I said, but it jumped down, it stopped, it jumped right in between me and my sister in that tree, and it grabbed that bull and twisted his neck right then. And killed it right there. A Brahma bull, man. And the first thing I thought of was my grandpa was going to whip my ass. He's going to kill me, you know. First of all, we got the apples. Second of all, was bull's dead. We ain't supposed to be there. And my sister ducktailed run to the house. And she ran up under that barbed wire fence. And it cut her little legs all to hell. I mean, it looked like razor blades. And I just knew I wasn't going to make it to my next birthday then. And my grandpa by then knew what was going on. He come running over there and he grabbed me by the nape of my neck, son, and picked me up and put me over that fence and escorted me to the front porch of that house. And my grandma was out there. She had a big jar of salve. They was native people. And she was putting salve on my little sister's leg. And my grandpa looked at me and he just said, "I told y'all, don't go back there."
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much the end of that story. He said, "You okay?" I'm like, "Yes, sir. I think, you know." And nothing was ever said after that till he died. Mm-hmm. Well, my grandfather died first. And we went back up there to see my grandmother a few months later. And my grandmother was telling my mama a story that somebody was putting watermelons on her porch. And their nearest neighbor, man, it was like, shoot, 10, 20 miles down the road. There wasn't no neighbors around them, you know?
Right.
And then we found out the real story after my grandmother died. My mama told us that my grandfather raised them fruits for them, you know? And
really?
You didn't go in the woods. It was called respect, you know? You didn't go in the woods. They didn't mess with them. He grew that for them, and they took care of them in their house, and they was there, shoot, well over 50 years. So they knew they was there, you know, but they never told nobody. But you know, back in the day, old people didn't talk about nothing, you know.
Right.
You didn't tell nobody nothing back then.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you saw that monkey, when you saw it, how tall was it?
Man, we was kids, man. I mean, when it was on the top of that, when it was on top of that the corner of that barn, it was squatted down. You know, it looked like it was as big as my daddy. You know, my dad was ex-Marine, 6'2". You know, it looked like it was that big, squatted down.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But The house is gone. Everything else is gone, but the foundation for the house is there. No barn done collapsed, but the old fence is still there, and that old tree is still there. And I still go up there. It takes me about 2 or 3 hours to get there from where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. But they still there. They still around.
That was my next question. So it sounds like to me that with your grandfather planting that watermelon and them apples for them, they kind of showed some respect to your grandfather and kind of like protected the farm. Right. Would I be correct?
Oh, I'm sure they protected. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But see, we didn't really understand all that 2 years later, you know. Right. And I'm thinking, wow, they protected them because my grandma, my grandfather looked out for them, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They knew they was there. They didn't say nothing, you know.
Right.
But I own all the land. I'm the lucky one to end up with all the land because I'm the last person in my family that's alive.
Oh, and, wow.
So I still own the land and everything there, you know. Mm-hmm. I go back up there every once in a while, you know, and check it out, see what I can see.
Do you ever bring fruit with you and put it up?
Ever burn what?
Fruit, just like apples or watermelons or something like that. Do you bring it up with you?
No.
Okay. Now you said that your grandparents' house, right there. Furthest neighbor was like 10 to 20 miles away from each other. Now, did their neighbors experience anything like that?
Like I said, old people didn't talk back then. You know, even if they did, they wouldn't tell you about it. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Did you, when the monkey happened, I like that word monkey. I'm sorry. I like that.
You know, that's what it looked like to us, you know, like a big right. monkey, you know.
Especially if kids. You were small. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know, 10, 12 years old, 8, 10. It's been so long ago, man, you know, but that's, you know, that's well, about when I remember.
Well, let me ask you this. So, I guess you have heard the knocking, and if they do knock, is it communication with the other Bigfoot, or is it communication like, okay, this is my area, you're not allowed to be here, so I'm going to pound a stick on a tree? What's the deal with that, do you think?
Well, everybody has their own opinion, you know, because there's no experts at period in Sasquatch field, you know, but mm-hmm. my opinion, what I experienced, it's a knock to let everybody know, you know, they letting them know, okay. you know,
okay.
If you're lucky enough to see one in your life, you are so blessed, you know, but if you see one, there's four or five more behind you and around you. You have no idea, you know?
Okay. Now are
they don't travel.
Do they travel in groups? I mean, or are they family orientated? Are they family orientated?
Oh, sure they are. Of course they are.
Okay.
They'll have one or two to lure you away from a certain spot. You know, they'll make you move where they want you to go.
Okay. And how do they do that?
You're always being watched. Yeah, you're always being watched, man. You know,
okay.
Always they have day watchers that nobody even you don't even know about. I mean, they got day watchers that's everywhere around
oh,
you.
Really?
And you're focused on one. I'll tell you a story right here behind me and all these thousands of acres. I seen a juvenile. I knew he was back there, but he caught my attention one time, and there's a river that runs all the way through this state, and it's like Pearl River, you know. It runs everywhere straight up like the Mississippi River. And me being as much experience as I had with them and my knowledge of them, I blanked out. It was my screw up that this happened because my mind, I didn't think about it at the moment. But juveniles like to play hide and seek, man. They don't mean you no harm. They'll mess with you. You know, they just like to play hide and seek in my experiences. I finally seen him or her following him down to the creek that runs into the river, Pearl River, and it was probably 40 yards, 50 yards from me across the creek, across the river, and stopped and looked at me. And I kept hearing something behind me, and I got flanked by a rock in the back of my skull, got 13 stitches. You know, wow. He lured me where he wanted me to go. You know what I mean? He lured me away from them, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Now, my friend.
But
my
I went back. They know me now, you know.
Oh,
so.
I bet they do if they've been doing it, if you've been doing it for so long. My friend Tony Sabella says he finally moved to San Antonio, and they are here, and we getting close to them. So.
Absolutely.
So I hear all these negative stories about how Bigfoot, you know, attacks people and how they, you know, damage things, damage properties and stuff like that. How true are those stories? You've been around them.
100%.
Okay.
That's 100% on both of them. They will attack you. Yeah, they will attack you. If you get too close or you come across an aggressive one, they will attack you. I was at a spot. I'm following five counties in this state by myself now. I don't take nobody with me. I don't take guns with me. Because if they want you dead, they kill you. You know,
right.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's so many around you. You concentrating on one, just three or four behind you, you have no idea about. You'll never make it out anyway. Okay. If you do, you're lucky. I'm following. I know where one's at. He's solid black. I think he's. I've been following him for so long. He's probably a teen now. You know. Okay. I think he's mentally, you know, like retarded, you know, okay. There's something wrong with him. Sometimes I can go up there and I got to go so far to acknowledge me, you know, he'll throw rocks at me or pieces of trees, you know, something to let me know. And I'll just stand there and then he'll walk out kind of. And run. Well, I can see him run. He wants me to follow him. That's what it is.
Okay.
But when he don't want you around him, he don't want you around him. He'll let you know.
Okay.
But I took somebody with me one time, which was my mistake, which I'll never ever do again. We got probably half a mile in, three quarters of a mile. And I had, you know, you get this eerie feeling that like something's watching you, you know what I mean? Like just dead staring you in the back of your head. And I kept having this feeling and I stopped and all of a sudden, man, we heard this noise like a bulldozer or something and tearing up shit. And I said, man, that don't sound right. We need to leave because every hair of my hands and my arms are standing up, man, my neck. I said, we need to go because I got that feeling it's time to go. And, we made it back to the car, and in my group, I post a lot of videos in my group. There's one video you'll see that's got a tree limb about 8 inches around that's thrown right through the driver's side windshield on the car. Okay. And there's another one I was in with a truck, my buddy's truck. We went and they demolished that truck. I mean, I'm talking about a tree limb, had the size of the hood through the windshield. They beat that truck. It looked like you hit it with a sledgehammer 1,000 times.
Okay.
But they knew me, and where I messed up, I took somebody with me that they didn't know. See, I broke their trust. That's something you don't ever, you don't ever want to do, ever break their trust.
Okay.
And it took me probably 5 years, 6 years to get back where I can go, you know, so I don't have to worry about nothing.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. Now, when now I'm a big, as you could tell my show, and you've watched my show, I'm into the paranormal. Yeah. I'm into the aliens, UFOs, and stuff like that. Wow. Now, in the past, on all the shows that I've been on, we have had guests on that say that the Bigfoot, right, or Squatches, are kind of like parallel to the UFOs. And what I'm saying is, whenever you see your Squatches, is there a lot of UFO activity happening out in the skies around you?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
Not at all. That's a theory. I mean, I'm not knocking their theory. Everybody has their own experiences, of course.
Right.
Or their own, you know, what they believe. I know they're flesh and blood. So.
Okay. Yeah. That's totally understandable, but flesh and blood. But
yeah, they're flesh and blood. I mean, they're not creatures or anything. I call them beings, man, because that's what they are. They're a being. They're just a different form of beings, you know?
Okay. Okay. And I also...
Yeah, like I said...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You're first. You're my guest.
I've called them... I got a video. Like I said, I made a few videos on my group page. And one of them, I took a picture of them standing out of my carport, beside my carport window, looking in my living room.
Okay.
And I took 4 or 5 pictures of that. And one of them pictures is on one of my videos on my group page.
And if it's okay with you, can I type your group page in the comments down here so everybody after the show could
sure.
take a look?
It's called the Elusive Ones.
The Elusive?
Yeah.
ELUSIVE-ONE apostrophe S. Okay, everybody, I'm putting in his page, his group page, and it's called the Elusive Ones. So
that's what they are. They are elusive.
Wow, this is pretty interesting because everything that I have heard from other people, from, you know, doing a little bit of studying behind my, you know, for me about the Bigfoot, it just seems like when people see them, that they just disappear and nobody knows where they go. Like, and I'll give you a good example. You know Bobo and them? Okay. Now, you can share what you feel like. It's okay with me. But it's like they catch these images on infrared lights, right, in the middle of the woods. And they're there, and then all of a sudden they're gone. Okay. And me thinking that they are interdimensional beings. I mean, they jump from one dimension into another dimension. What's your thought on that?
Right. Like I said, it could happen. I mean, Ron Moorhead, my friend's got a theory on that too. I mean, I'm not saying they're not, but in my personal experiences of just me, not everybody else, just me, in my opinion, they're flesh and blood. And blood don't travel through time. You know, they can't go from one dimension to another if you're flesh and blood, correct?
I beg to differ with you there, sir, but please continue.
I mean, well, maybe you can. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's so many portals. And to be honest with you on this, Squatch, there's so much shit out there right there in the woods or out there in this universe right now. God only knows what can happen to somebody out there. You know what I mean?
You ain't lying.
You ain't lying.
Probably ain't even touched half of what's out there, you know?
Okay, my friend Mika Waddle says, I think they're interdimensional and flesh. So many things we don't understand. And that's true, Mika.
Absolutely.
Have you ever decided to write a book about them?
No. I've heard that 100 times from people that really know me and my experiences, and I don't do it, you know, to make a buck or, you know, I dislodge myself from a lot of groups that I follow. I'd rather just do it in person, you know, alone. And, when it's time for me to share everything, then everybody will know, you know.
Okay. I can understand that. Because to me, when I started my paranormal group, I had to share it with everybody, you know what I mean? And at one point in time, at the beginning of it, it was like I was just getting ridiculed, made fun of, you know, like kicked to the curb because people did not believe in this stuff, you know what I mean? So I came up to a conclusion. I said, quit showing your pictures, you know what I mean, and just keep it to yourself. And so
that's the best way, man. I mean,
yeah. So I can understand where you're coming from with that. I mean, you can have a perfect video. You can have a perfect video for you, a Squatch or a being. And I can have a real good picture of a ghost or a spirit, however you want to say. And all of a sudden, people are just going to just like say, nah, that's nothing. It's a camera glitch. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's people that don't know. That's naysayers, you know. That's like people going to Walmart wants to go hunt a Sasquatch. They're gonna go buy a damn flashlight and a 243 and like, okay, let's go watch a let's go get a Sasquatch, you know? I mean, it's just stupid. It's crap, man.
Right.
You know.
That's just like somebody just buying a digital camera off the shelf and going out to a cemetery and start taking pictures because people don't realize. And it's like, especially for you, you're actually dealing with, you know, flesh and you, and, you know, real things, you know, it's not like a ghost where they can fly away and disappear forever. You know, you're actually dealing with, Sasquatches, and I find it really interesting. I find it really, really interesting what you do. So 40 years of Sasquatch, should I just say tracking instead of hunting? Are you a tracker to them? Do you track them? Or I know you don't hunt them because they'll never let you hunt.
I don't hunt them. I don't carry guns with me when I go. It's just useless to me.
Okay, we're losing him. Hopefully he can hear me, Squatch. All right. What we're gonna do right now, it is on the 30-minute mark of the show. Squatch, if you can hear me, if you can't get back on, oh yeah, he's gone. He's going to get back on again. But listen, it's a great show so far. Everybody, please stick around. I'm going to take my 70-second break here, and then we'll get back into the show. We'll wait till he gets Pops back on again. All right, let me get to it. All right. Hey, welcome back to the show, to the second part of Into the Night with Sean Kelly. I want to thank Carnation again for sponsoring my show tonight. And they sponsor all my shows, so I'm very grateful towards them. I am also on UPRN Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. And I want to thank Joe Monteldo for allowing me to share my 1 hour show with you. And also April 6th, we are having that open investigation for all paranormal groups and all individuals. It don't matter if you don't know how to do an investigation, if you ever want to experience an investigation, come on down to the Dudas Farm. Some people have asked me, what's happening down there that consider it haunted. Well, next week, April 2nd, right, I'm going to have Mr. White on with a bunch of his people that actually work down there, and they're going to come on, and they're going to explain the different things that they have witnessed down there, and why they want it to be investigated. It's going to be fun. From what I understand, I talked to Roy White last night, and he said he's going to bring hot dogs down, and there's going to be food, there's going to be a bonfire. And what the big thing about it is that it's going to, I look at it as paranormal unity, where everybody in the paranormal can get together and do an investigation, and to share stories and just to get to know each other. Because as you know, there's a ton of paranormal groups out here in Pennsylvania and not in the United States. So, if there are any paranormal groups in Canada that want to come on down, please feel free. Please do. That would be great. So back to the show. My guest tonight is the Squatch Man, the Mississippi Squatch Man. I like that. That's a cool name. I like that name. How did you come up with Squatch Man? Was that given to you, or was that something that you came up with?
It was given to me.
It was given to you?
Yeah, years and years, 25 years ago, probably. And it just kind of stuck.
It's a good name, dude. I kind of like enjoy it because so far, by just listening to you and your stories that you are telling tonight. Hey, Kason, good to see you. It's my buddy Kason. He's from Sri Lanka. So he comes and watches the show. Yeah. I know I'm finding everything interesting so far. But I want to dab into your thoughts on the Bigfoot communities. Okay. Now I'm not knocking them, you know what I mean? And right. I know a lot of people that are in the Bigfoot community, but I would just like to hear what you think of the community.
I think half of them are fake. Okay. I think half of them do it for the money. And the other half are, I don't really know. I mean, it's hard to explain it. I mean, there's so many real people out there with real experiences, and you run across these sites or these groups and it just demolishes all that shit. You know, it makes you want to, if you're a real, real person with real, real information and experiences, people like that and them kind of groups make you want to keep everything to yourself. Because why waste your breath? You know what I mean?
Right. So there is a lot of people. And I understand what you're talking about. That's just like a group that starts like a year or 2 years ago. And they think they know everything. And they got this and they got that. And then it's like, you know what? No, you don't. And exactly. I have nothing. All right, Kason, I'll see you when you get back. But I said, no, you don't. You know what I mean? And so it got to the point for me that it's not, I did not quit the paranormal groups. Do you know what I mean? Following them.
Right.
It's just, I sat back and I started to observe. I started to watch. Yes. And I found in the paranormal groups, and I'm sure, I'm not, you know, I'd like to get your opinion, but there's a lot of egos out there.
Exactly. That's why I quit posting a lot of stuff in my group and on my page. I'm kind of like you. We just sit back and just, I'm still doing what I'm doing. I'm still getting results. I'm still getting samples, and I just keep it to myself.
Right.
But there's no need of sharing it when there's so many people out there, like you said, that they think they know it all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if they in a tent at night and you walk up there and go boo and slap the back, man, they'll drag the half the tent down while they're running away.
I know, I mean, I'd be. I know I will. I know I will. I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Squatch Man.
Come here's on, man.
I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm from the city, and I might go in 100 yards into the woods, and that's as far as I'm going to go. I'm just going to make sure. Yeah, man, I just can't do that stuff, because if I was stuck in the middle of the woods, I would be in so much trouble. Oh, Lord, it would be something. I'd have to burn down the forest just for people to come
on, man.
But, okay.
It's a great experience, I'm going to tell you.
No, I can imagine. I can imagine. But I do prospect for gold. You know, I go down to Virginia and I go to North Carolina. You know,
that's
I do
awesome.
A little bit of, yeah, I do it in Ohio. So, and when I'm in the streams doing it, it's like you, I could just feel the eyes upon me. You know,
exactly.
Like, what's that boy doing? You know, and fortunately, I have not run across anything like that. But my friend, they live down in West Virginia, like on a mountain. And the one morning I was down there having coffee with them on their back porch, I heard a loud ass knock. Now, nobody's up there. Okay. It's like a vacation thing to go to that
right.
Way. I heard one loud knock on a tree. And I was like, yes, they do. They do exist. So that's as close as I have gone to, you know, experience a Bigfoot encounter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but but I tell everybody, and everybody knows me on this, is that I've done paranormal investigating for a very long time, you know, and I retired from it. But I would like to do a Bigfoot investigation. You know what I mean? But you got to get me out of the woods, man. I'm not going in the way. I'm just being straight up with you, brother. I just can't do it. But
I understand, brother. I understand, man. when I first bought this house here with all this land, you know, right by me, you know, it took a couple years, but I noticed something, you know, up under my carport. Every time I get up, something be rearranged or something would be moved to a different spot, you know, and it took me a minute to click on it. And then when I sit on my porch at night with the lights off, drink a good cold one, you know, just enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And hell, the wood line is probably 70 yards from my front door.
Okay.
And I started hearing things, and I'm like, oh, it can't be here. They can't be here. And before you know it, yeah. I got juveniles right now, that slapped the back of my house where my bedroom is, probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes they'll slap it, you know, they just let me know. They just want to play. That's all that is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got pictures of it. I got pictures of the prints, you know, hair and whatever, but you know, it's, I think it's so cool that they accepted me like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because they know I don't mean them no harm. You know, they can sense you. They can sense danger in you like a dog can. You know, a dog can sense if you're going to harm them or not, you know?
Right.
I believe they're the same way in my experiences over the years. You know, you got to talk to them, man. You know, even if you don't see them, but you know they're there. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk to them every time I go in the woods. I speak to them. And it's pretty interesting results. You know, you always look up, and always look back, man. Okay. You know,
okay.
People need to remember that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they stink like people say they do? Do they stink?
They do. The only I can now, this is a topic I've been in before with a lot of people. The only time I've ever smelt them like this raw stench, this, you know, there was juveniles around.
Okay.
So I think it's the female putting the scent off to get you away from the juveniles. That's what I believe.
Okay.
Because, every time I've ever smelt it, I've seen a little one or two. So,
mm-hmm. Like they're mama bears, really, basically.
Right. Yeah. It's like a lion taking care of her cubs. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Now, do the males hang out with the females and the two juveniles? Is it like one family? He's got them, or does he just wander off?
He's not far from them.
Okay.
100 yards, maybe. Yeah.
So I guess there's a lot of deer down here, brother, that they just feed off, right?
I got deer everywhere. Last night during the storm, it come a bad storm here. That's why I'm on my phone instead of my computer. Man, it knocked everything out down here. I mean, power, mm-hmm. everything. I got a big Roddy, black and tan. And man, I keep him in the house, you know. That's his job, take care of the house. And
right.
Man, he woke me up about 4 o'clock this morning just snarling like he was just chewing somebody up or something, man. And I got up and walked in the living room and looked. I said, man, what you barking at? I'm talking to him. And he was literally foaming at the mouth. And I looked out the car. He was looking out the carport window on top of his chair. And I couldn't see nothing, of course, because it was dark. So I turned the carport light on and opened the door. And there was two deer standing right in my carport to get out of the storm. You know, little deer, like fawns.
Okay.
And I thought that was so cool, you know, because they everywhere around here, man. But I don't hunt, you know.
Right.
I fish, but I don't hunt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I take care of them. I feed them too, you know.
Okay. That's cool. I probably would feed them too if I was on the farm. Yeah. But I'm really glad you're on the show tonight. We got about 10 minutes left. Okay. Now, you know, this show is about the paranormal, sir, right?
Right.
And we talk about cryptids. Have you seen any other thing in your woods besides cryptids, besides Bigfoot? Like the dog man, like dog man, you know,
dog man. No, I tell you what, I got a picture. I can't send it to you now, but after it's over, I'll send it to you. I was walking from the tree line at the end, coming back toward my house, and it was broad daylight. It was probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I heard something that sounded like a little kid crying, like a baby or something.
Okay.
And I stopped and turned around, and I didn't see nothing. I didn't hear nothing. You know, it didn't smell nothing. I mean, I'm like, what the hell? And I heard it 2 or 3 times, and I got directly in front of my driveway, and I stopped and turned around with my phone, and I started snapping pictures.
Okay.
And I caught 3. They look like squatches. They're juvenile squatches. One of them's got his head peeping around a tree at me. The one in the back is big. It's crap. Look like he's leaving to the right. And there's another one kneeled down behind the one behind the tree to the left. Mm-hmm. So I caught all them in one shot.
Oh, wow.
But if you blow the picture up now, I got a squatch buddy of mine, named Bob Smith. He's in Scotland. He does fabulous paintings. His son's handicapped. That's how he makes his living. Man, he does some of the most amazing color paintings and oil paintings you ever see of him. Right. And he also follows him. Okay. I showed him this picture, and he sent it back to me. There's a solid white face. You can see it like I'm looking at you, right above the one that's looking around the tree at me. And I've seen the picture 1,000 times and I never noticed it till he pointed it out to me. Right. There's a solid white face right 3 feet above it, mm-hmm. between two trees.
Okay.
And I'll send it to you if you'd like to see it, man.
Yeah, yeah, please do.
It'll blow your mind.
I don't check it out. Yeah.
So it's something. I mean, there's a lot of stuff over here, you know. But hell, there's a lot of stuff everywhere you'll never know about, you know.
Oh, hell yeah, especially down in Mississippi, because from what I understand, in Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, back in the Civil War, the 1860s, you know what I mean?
I
can only imagine. Now, I don't know if you live around any Civil War things.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Oh yeah, okay. I live in the trail when they burnt the whole state going up through Vicksburg. I'm right in the center of the line.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Oh yeah, right. Man. So
you have ghosts, right?
Do what?
You have ghosts on your
property? I have ghosts in my house.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean I got something keeps opening and closing the cabinets. They'll turn the light on and off. They'll flicker the light on and off 100 times in a row, you know.
Okay.
I've never heard a sound, you know.
Right.
I got an easy bar recliner in my living room, and I was sitting in my kitchen. You know, when you sit in my kitchen, you can see through the living room to the front door. I have actually seen that chair move probably 4 inches backwards.
Okay. Have you ever thought about bringing a paranormal group into your house to see what they could pick up from you?
Well, no, I've never thought of it.
Yeah, think about it, dude. I'm sure. Now, I guarantee it. There are a lot of paranormal groups down in Mississippi that would love to come down. But if they charge you, say no way.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
What I mean?
Yeah. No,
I would personally, if I was in your shoes, and I would recommend that you find a paranormal group in your area and have them come in and just set their equipment up and just see what they find, you know?
Oh, they'll be amazed, man. I can tell you that they'll be amazed.
It will definitely give you a peace of mind also.
Well, like I said, they don't bother me. I mean, I notice something doing it. I mean, I'm not imagining it, you know, but you just don't tell people shit like that. You know what I mean?
No, you don't.
Like, you was drunk or, you know, whatever. You know, no, man, I'm telling you. You know, I woke up, all my cabinet doors are open, man. Right. You know?
Well, the community here that I belong to, they're awesome. They would love your stories. There's no one that, not stories, but the stuff that you have experienced in your home.
Right.
They accept it, you know what I mean? And they kind of like figure it out. So,
like I said, this house is probably, you know, it's a small house, 2 bedroom, 1 bath, but it's over 150, 160 years old.
Right.
I mean, the guy I work for, his brother was born in his house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. It's old. It's so old, you know, and they didn't want to tear it down. They thought it was some kind of historical house or landmark or something on this end. I live on a dead end road. Mm-hmm. And, so there's something to this house, and, the city wouldn't let them tear it down. He had to refurbish it.
Oh, wow.
So after they refurbished it and got it up to, you know, modern date, whatever, I still got hardwood floors, of course. And, but that's when I bought it. But I didn't know the whole story behind it until after I got the house, like 3 or 4 years later.
Right.
So, I don't know what happened here or in this house or whatever. I mean, something happened, you know. I don't hear voices. It's just something keeps playing with my light switches in my cabinet door.
Call that paranormal group. Come on in. And if I can recommend, find somebody. Go to your local library, Donner. Seriously, go to the library and have the librarians research your house and research your property. And I can guarantee you'll find out a lot of information about your place. I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
That's interesting.
Just go to your library, ask somebody to help you out, research it, and call a paranormal group and get yourself gone. We're getting pretty close to the end of the time, Squatch, and I truly appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Man, thank you for having me, brother. I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did. Now, before we go, what can you give some advice to my listeners, okay, and the people in the chat room, okay? Give us what they should do if they spot a Sasquatch.
Stand still. Don't run.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, acknowledge them, you know, talk to them, acknowledge them. Don't be afraid. You know, your heart's going 1,000 miles an hour through your chest, you know, but speak to them, you know.
And they how would they respond to you?
They'll walk up to you. I mean, I've had them walk up to me. My buddy Ernie's had him touch him on his shoulder. I mean, I've had them walk up. I've had personal encounters with them too. And they can sense if you're going to do them harm.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like I told you, they'll walk up to you and they'll put their hand out to you.
Oh, wow.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And my friend Kason says, and don't show fear, right? Yep. Don't show no fear.
That's right. Don't show no fear, man.
All right, my friend. Listen, thank you again for being on. If you come
thank
up with
you,
me, and I'm sure down the road, I'll have you back on again if there's any like Bigfoot situations happening that I can get some advice from you. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
And you have a good night, brother, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, man.
All right, bye. Holy, what a show. What a man. It was a very interesting show. And, you know, I'm very grateful to have him on as a guest. I learned a lot, you know, and I respect what he told me, you know. There's probably people out there that might not accept what he has said, but you know what? That's okay because, you know, free will, free choice. It's your choice. That's okay, Kason. We'll probably have it. All you got to do is go and check it out on the reruns, and it will play back. Just go to my Pittsburgh Paranormal Society group page and you can play the show again. But on that note, children, if you can, please go to your parents, give them a hug, and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And if you don't have no parents, and if you have no children, find somebody to give them a hug and tell them that you love them. Because those three words, I love you, go a long, long way. Remember, April 2nd, I'm going to have Roy White and some people from the Dudas Farm for the investigation, and they're going to come up. When am I on next, Kason? Easter. Thank you for telling me that, brother. I will have an Easter show. I will have an Easter show, but I don't know what's going to be happening with that. But April 2nd. I'll be on the 31st, case and on the 2nd. But on the 2nd, like I said, I'm going to have Roy White and his people from down there at Dudas Farms, and they're going to come on, and they're going to share what they have experienced with us, what they have experienced down on the farm, and they're going to share it with us before, you know, we get to it. But on that note, good night. Thank you, Squatchman. Thank you again for being on tonight, and I will see you all on Easter evening. Good night.